The broken chain of knowledge. There is a chain of knowledge that links our modern world with the past. Each time that chain is broken, we lose access to valuable information about the world and ourselves. We know that the chain has been broken at least twice in recorded history. Once with the burning of the Great Library of Alexandria during the Roman conquest of Egypt, and then again with the edits of the modern Bible by the Catholic hierarchy during the 4th century. As a scientist, I believe that the closer we can get to the original teachings that existed before the knowledge was lost, the more clearly we can understand what our ancestors knew in their own times that we could apply in ours. For the bulk of my adult life, I've searched the places least disturbed by the modern world to find sources of ancient and indigenous wisdom. And my journey has taken me to some of the most amazing places remaining on the earth, from the magnificent monasteries of the Tibetan Plateau and the humble monasteries of the mountains of Egypt and southern Peru, to the Dead Sea Scrolls and the oral histories of native peoples throughout the world. I've listened to stories, I've studied the records, and as different as each of the traditions I've encountered appears to be from the others, there are common themes weaving them into a collective fabric that displays our past. Those themes are reflected in the wisdom shared by the Mayan elder I met in Mexico's Yucatan jungles in the fall of 2012. In summary, he described how our ancestors did not separate themselves from the world around them, art, science, and everyday life, and the past from the present. While such wisdom is certainly not scientific, the themes that the wisdom conveys have, in fact, been confirmed by the best science of our time. In light of such confirmations, the question that comes to me again and again is this: if our ancestors had such a deep understanding of the earth and our relationship to it, and modern science is only just now able to validate this relationship, then what else did they know in their time that we've forgotten in ours? The question at the root of each choice. A single question guides us throughout each day of our lives. For some, the question is subconscious, while for other people it's not. Either way, our answer to this question is the key to every decision we've ever made in our lives or will make from this moment forward. Our answer provides the basis for each and every choice we've ever made, and it's at the heart of every challenge that's ever crossed our paths. The question is such a simple one that many people make the mistake of discounting its meaning in their lives. The question that holds such power for us as individuals is simply this: who am I? And because there are so many of us in the world, the question also becomes, who are we? For over 5,000 years, the ancient and indigenous peoples of the world answered this question in a way that worked for them. Their worldview gave them the reasons to live in harmony with the earth rather than trying to master the earth. It gave them the reasons to work together as communities and to form regional councils that worked to share the resources of the planet rather than trying to own things like water and animals and minerals and entire forests. With the birth of the scientific method, however, during the time of Sir Isaac Newton over 300 years ago, all of that began to change. Since that time, science has tried to prove empirically what the indigenous traditions of our past accomplished intuitively. It's during the same time that our beliefs of separation and scarcity emerged. For the past 300 years, our beliefs regarding competition have become so deeply ingrained into the way that we see our world that we sometimes take for granted the role that it plays and just how deeply that role affects our time of extremes today. To answer the question of who we are means we must first answer six fundamental questions regarding our relationship to ourselves and the world. They must be answered by every civilization. They must be answered by every society and every religious organization and the members of every group from every spiritual tradition in order to meet the needs of those who look to these groups and organizations for guidance or follow their teachings. The questions address the most basic issues of our existence, and they form a hierarchy of increasingly complex understandings about our relationships. Beginning with the most basic and fundamental question of all, they are as follows. Number one, where does life come from? Number two, where does human life come from? Number three, what is our relationship to our bodies? Number four, what is our relationship to the world beyond our bodies? Number five, what is our relationship to the past? And number six, how do we solve our problems? This question is last because the way it's answered depends upon the thinking and the answers of the previous questions. If we can imagine these six questions superimposed upon a pyramid with the apex pointing down, then we have the template for what is known as the pyramid of thinking. And with that pyramid, we have the keys to answer the question, who am I? The way we answer the questions in this pyramid defines the way we see ourselves and the world, and it's this viewpoint that determines how we go about solving our problems. In our pyramid of thinking, the first question, what is the origin of life, begins at the bottom, and each successive question is stacked above until we reach the last question in the broadest portion at the top of the pyramid. Since the beginning of science, 3 centuries ago, we've answered each of these questions based upon the false assumptions of science that we described in the previous section. It's been said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again in the same way and expecting new results. To attempt to resolve the unprecedented crises of our time today, our time of extremes, by looking at them through the eyes of the same beliefs that led to the crises makes little sense. And doing so now, knowing that those beliefs are no longer true, makes even less sense. To meet the challenges of our time, we must be willing to think differently about ourselves than we have for at least the last 300 years. And to do so means that we must cross some of the traditional boundaries defined by our pyramid that have isolated the discoveries in one area of scientific study from another. And when we do, something wonderful begins to happen.